Welcome to a Song of Ice and Fire Symposium. My name is Snav.
And I'm Harmit.
And this is a Game of Thrones. Chapters 64, 65, and 66. Daenerys, Arya, and Bran. In these chapters...
My heart gets broken, and then broken, and then broken.
In these chapters, Sir Illyn is a real pain in Ned's neck.
Oh my god!
I've been waiting for more than a year to say that. I thought of it like one of the first weeks when we started the podcast. My gosh.
Okay, that's really good.
Isn't it? Okay.
That makes me mad. I hate that you had a good one the week that I am unable to tolerate this.
Oh, it's too good. Okay. Calm down. I'm just really excited. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Let's get into this. So, Harmit, what did you think of these chapters?
I was mad. I read these chapters. I started reading at like a normal time. I started reading at maybe like 5 p.m. But then I had to leave like halfway through the Daenerys chapter. So then I started reading it at 1 a.m. And when you read something like this at 1 a.m., emotions are heightened. So then I read all the chapters and I got to... What was the last one? Bran. I finished Arya, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, should I read Bran right now? And then I was like, well, I have to. But I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to read this because I know that they're gonna like confirm it, and then I'm gonna have to deal with it. and then they did, and I read it, and then I was like, I can't even. I just put it aside, and I was like, okay, that was emotionally traumatizing. That is how I feel about these chapters. Emotional trauma all around.
When I was dividing up the chapters, I knew I wanted Arya and Bran's chapters to be together because I wanted you to have that confirmation.
Okay.
Because, like, Arya's chapter kind of leaves it up in the air a little bit. Yeah. Like, we never see it.
Yeah. But then like, we get something could have happened. Like, somebody, like, I don't know, his mom could have been like, if you're my son, you have to stop this. Or, like, something
like,
could have happened.
Anything could have happened. Anything. But, yeah.
But it was very unlikely.
Yeah. It was the Daenerys chapter that was, like, I didn't know whether to put it with, like, the previous two chapters. But I was, like, but those are two such perfectly, like, because, you know, they're Tyrion and Catelyn and two battles. And they just fit really well.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that's true.
So I was, like, okay, I don't want to put Daenerys there. But it's like, and then I was like, but this is a lot of stuff. But then I was like, but if I put Daenerys first, then you totally won't be expecting what happens in Arya's chapter.
Oh my gosh. That's true. That was, I did not appreciate that decision.
I'm sure our audience will.
You know, do you remember when, who was the two? Oh, Viserys. I think Viserys and Robert. I don't know if I'm remembering this wrong, but didn't Viserys and Robert, like, die in the same episode?
Did
that
they?
That we recorded? Or it was, like episodes after each other? Like, I think it was pretty
potentially,
close.
Potentially, yeah.
I think it was, like, pretty close. And I remember being like, oh, like, the deaths are starting. Because literally the only thing I knew about Game of Thrones was that
started
there's constant
in the prologue.
Death.
Remember.
Yeah, but I didn't care about, like, I didn't know those people, you know? I was like, okay, whatever.
They were the only people you knew in the prologue.
No, but, like, I didn't care about
yes,
them
I know
at that
what
point,
you mean.
You know? And I remember them dying, and I was like, oh, haha, you know? And then these two, I was just like, what the heck? Why?
What do
is
you
this
mean?
Happening?
It's nothing bad happened.
I know. Y'all are probably thinking, like, oh, you've been predicting Ned's death since, like, probably, I think probably
Let me
like,
tell
the
you,
third episode.
The first chapter, Bran
really?
Won. Yes.
Really?
Well, your theory was, like, Ned's gonna die, and then John and Rob are gonna be competing for his titles.
Oh, okay. I did that the first chapter. That's so funny.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I know that.
And that was over a year ago, so.
Yeah. I know that I've been saying it, but that doesn't mean that I wanted it to happen. So.
Yeah. Mm hmm.
Yeah. Literally, and remember, I think a couple chapters ago, I was like, I want redemption for Joffrey. Like, what was I thinking? I hate this kid with all of my...
You're, like, too kind to everyone. You want everyone to be saved and redeemed.
No, I don't care. I don't care if he, like...
Well, now you don't, but, like, that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, but I don't care if he, like, crawls out of the book and, like, alters global warming. Like, I don't care what he does at this point. I don't care. I don't care about him.
Oh, alters global warming, as in, like, if he saves the world, you'll be still like, fuck that dude?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I see. So he's Elon Musk. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Okay, let's do the mesmerizing.
Yes. I feel like this is going to be a bad summary because of all the emotional trauma. I've blocked everything out. I don't think I'm going to be able to summarize these.
Well, you just read over your notes, so just try to remember.
Okay.
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, they're riding along. Drogo's not well. Drogo falls off his horse. Danny's like, what the fuck? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, he can't be our leader anymore. And, you know, he's about to die. His blood's turning black, and it's this whole thing. And then, what's her name? Mizzy? Miri?
Miri.
Yes, Miri starts doing this, like, blood magic thing, and everybody in the Khalzar is like, no, this is literally forbidden. Like, what the heck? And Daenerys is like, I don't care. So she goes on with it, and then,
switch.
Arya. What's the next chapter? Oh, Arya. Okay, so Arya is, like, there. I forget the name of the places she's at. She's, like, exploring the gates. She's like, maybe there's a way to leave. She, like, talks about her conditions. She's not doing too hot. Then, you know, the bells ring, and everybody's summoned, and they go to, like, the square or whatever they're at, and Ned gets killed by Sir Ilyn Payne, and it's literally all Joffrey's fault. Nobody else.
Okay, switch.
Who's next? Oh, Bran.
Bran.
Bran. Oh, Bran had a dream about a three-eyed crow, and, you know, he was just hanging out in the crypts with his father, and they were talking about Jon. That was his dream, and then Rickon also had a dream about his father and the crypts, and everybody's like, this is sus, and Asha and, what's his name, oh, Maester. So they go down to the crypts, and then Rickon and Shaggy scare them, and then they get a letter.
Okay, done.
And Ned's dead.
I expected your in these chapters to be Ned is dead.
Oh.
But it wasn't.
Well, I didn't want to say it.
Okay, wait. Before I forget, you were like, it's only Joffrey's fault. Not even
who. Oh, I was going to say, like, I didn't mean to say not even. I was going to say even Cersei was like, buddy, let's not do this, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting observation.
I was like, Joffrey, stop being on your high horse. Like, get the fuck off or else I'm gonna kick you off. Just stop. Like, I swear to God, this is what happens when you spoil children. Like, ugh. You think you...
Well, don't worry. As we know, all bad people get what's coming to them. That was sarcastic. Mm. People don't get what's coming to them. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the chapters in depth now.
Yes.
So, Daenerys. Okay. Dany's riding at the head of the Khalasar with Drogo. And she's reflecting. And we learn that Drogo has ignored Miri Mazdoor's advice. And I love how you just call her Miri for whatever reason. Whenever I've heard her, like, name, it's always been the whole three three names. It's never Miri. So Miri Mazdoor's advice, he ignored it.
And he took off. He probably would.
Yeah, and he took off the poultice that she had prepared for him. And he's also been drinking milk of the poppy and alcohol to ease the pain, all the things that she told him not to do.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. At this point, Drogo is barely conscious. Like, he's on his horse, he's kind of swaying. There's flies circling him, and he doesn't even swat them away. And Daddy's really concerned, so she rides up to him and, like, reaches out to him. But as she does, Drogo straight up falls off his horse. And in her panic, like, Danny goes beside him, and all the Blood Riders ride up, and they are shook. Because this is their leader, and he is no longer able to ride. And Danny's like, don't tell anybody that he fell off his horse. Just tell them that I am going into labor or something. And make camp. We're stopping. We're done for the day. And, you know, they're like, oh, you're not our leader. And she's like, listen to me or my dead husband will make you listen. Basically, she's like, if you don't listen to me, Drogo will die. And if you don't listen to me, Drogo will make sure you die. Like, you know, it's like, it doesn't really make sense, but it's also,
but it's just that state of panic and, like, mm-hmm, just listen exactly to me. Like,
yeah. And she asks for Mirima's door to be brought to her, and so they go and reluctantly do as she asked. Their tent is set up, and Danny makes sure that no one can see what Drogo is currently like. And, like, she's thinking to herself that a call who could not write could not rule. So, like, she gets it. So she makes sure that people, she wants to make sure that people don't get it. No, they do get it, but they don't know it. They don't find out.
Yeah, but that was all in vain.
Yes. Okay, you talk.
Okay, cool. So they prepare a bath for Drogo, and Jorah comes in. And Jorah's like, okay, we need to talk. And then the maids have to leave, and he checks Drogo's wound, and there's like pus, and there's like black blood, and it's like this whole disgusting moment. And Jorah's like, he's not gonna survive. Let's escape to Asai.
Ashai.
Okay, cool. He's like, let's go to Ashai. And Danny's like, yeah, but what about my kid? Like, yeah, why would we, like, do that?
I'm carrying the heir to the Khalasar. Yeah. And Jorah's like, yeah, the Dothraki, like, this is weird, because just a moment ago she was thinking how a call that couldn't ride couldn't rule, and now she's like, oh, this baby that is entirely reliant on others to live is gonna rule. But so it's like she gets parts of it, but not entirely. Like, she's still got the Western notion of, oh, whoever this, you know, the kid is gonna be the future call. And Drogo's like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. He'll probably be killed before he grows up to be the
stallion that mounts the world.
Yes, exactly that. I totally forgot the phrasing. And Daddy will be taken back to Vias Dothrak to live out her life with the Dash Kaleen. And she doesn't want to do that. So she's like, no, I will stay here and I'll make sure he lives. He has to live.
Yeah. And then Miri comes in, and all the freaking, all the Blood Riders, especially freaking, what's his name?
Kotho?
Yeah, Kotho. Yeah. Freaking Kotho is just continuously like, I'm gonna beat you up. You did this. And then this is your fault. Danny
goes ahead and beats her up.
Yes, that too. And he's like, you know what? You both suck. Danny, this is your fault too. He's just having this whole moment. And then Danny's like, okay, leave. Get out of here. Stop annoying her. Or no, stop abusing her, not annoying her. Stop abusing her. But there's more back and forth where they're just being annoying. And then, like I said, the Blood Riders are like, this is also your fault, so maybe you should pipe down.
Yeah, but eventually they leave, and Danny turns to Jorah and is like, you better suit up, because it's about to get tense.
Yeah, this ain't gonna be good.
And he leaves too, So at this point, she and Miri are alone with Drogo. And she, like, pleads with Miri to please save Drogo. And Miri's like, you don't need to plead to me. I'm a slave, remember? And I was like, well, basically, like, that's what Drogo said to her last chapter.
Yeah.
And she's just throwing it back in Dany's face.
Yeah.
And she tells Dany that Drogo is beyond the powers of a healer. And in desperation, Dany's like, yeah, but what about Magique? She didn't say that, but... And in return for saving Drogo's life, Dany promises to free Miri. So, okay. Yeah, like that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting and losing my train of thoughts. The train of thoughts, train of thoughts. Train of thought, is it singular or thoughts plural?
Train of thought.
But if it's a train, there have to be more than one thought.
I think it's the...
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, too. That's why I paused. I was like, wait, why is it train of thought? I'm trying to, like,
It's wrong.
Train of thought.
Take that, English, getting called out for your bullshit.
Yeah, that's weird. See, I always thought of it as, like, it's the train of thought, and it's making different stops at different stops. Like, the different stops are thoughts.
But if you lose your... Okay, back to the chapter. speaking of losing our train of thought. So, Miri tells Dany that there is a spell that she can try, but there's a price. Only death may pay for life. And Dany's like, oh, my life? But at the same time, she's like, I will die for him like my brother died for the woman he loved.
Yeah.
And Miri's like, yeah, no, not your life. And Dany's like, oh, thank God. Yes, please go ahead. And like, before she even says I need a horse, Dany's like, yeah, take anybody else's life but mine. It could have just been like, I need Jorah's life. And she was like, yeah, fine, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Dany's like, nope.
Yeah. Well, in this chapter, she's coming to realize just how reliant she is on Drogo's protection, you know?
Yeah.
And if he dies, she's going to be nobody and her kid's going to be killed. And yeah. She can forget about Westeros, like all these things, right?
Yeah. And also, like, she's not part of the Dothraki. So for her, like, it's not necessarily, like, the same thing. Like, let's say a Dothraki person had to make this decision. Like, I feel like they would care a lot more because they've, like, grown up in this culture. Like,
right.
You know, so to her, it's to like, them, oh, this do this. Forbidden.
Yeah.
Yeah. To her, it's like, oh, it's forbidden. Whatever. Just do it because it'll have these, like, benefits, you know?
Right. Yeah. So Miri asks for Drogo's horse to be brought to her. And when Drogo sees what's gonna happen, Drogo is one of Dany's guards. What part of her cost? I don't know how it's said. But he's basically like, please don't do this. This is forbidden. And Dany's like, no, I'm the Khaleesi and I say it's not forbidden. Besides, it's basically like that time I ate a horse's heart. The same thing, right? And, you know, she does what she wants. And the horse is taken to where Drogo's lying in a bath. And Miri slits the horse's throat over Drogo while chanting in some language. And Dany's thinking to herself that if the price for Drogo's life is a horse, she would pay 1,000 times over. And I'm like, okay. I don't know. Like, there's all these things, and I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, ugh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh, because, like, what's that horse done to you? Like, you know, yeah. Just leave it alone. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, okay. So, the horse's corpse. Horse's corpse, gosh, that's, it's taken away to be burned as is tradition for when a Kahl dies, his horse is burned at his pyre. And Danny tells everyone to leave. And Miri's like, yeah, you leave too. Because, quote, once I begin to sing, no one must enter this tent. My song will wake powers old and dark. The dead will dance here this night. No living man must look on them.
Good thing. Yeah. Would have been a good thing to remember, huh? This stressed me out. I was like, somebody's about to enter by the end of this chapter. And I was, three people are going to enter by the end of this chapter. Probably more. We're going to go and follow.
Right. Okay. But at this point, Daenerys leaves. And when she gets outside, she finds a whole crowd of people staring at her. And when she, when Jorah sees the blood that she trailed out, he calls her a fool for doing what she did, and she's like, I had to. And Miri begins singing in the tent, and Daddy sees shadows inside. She sees Miri dancing and not alone.
And even when she was in the tent, like, didn't a knife, like, when she had to cut the horse, like, didn't a knife just, like, appear in her hand?
Well, yeah, she, like, took it out of somewhere, and Danny was like, where you been keeping that?
Oh, got it.
Like, I don't know if it was, like, she conjured a knife out of magic, but the point is that Danny didn't see it on her at any point, and, like, either she just had it in her, like, back pocket, or she conjured it. We don't really know.
See, I would have assumed that they wouldn't have allowed her to, like, keep that stuff, but I guess they, like, didn't care enough. That makes
sense. Yeah, maybe she did. You know what? I never thought about her, like, pulling a knife out of thin air, but maybe she did.
Dang, she's powerful.
Right. So if death pays for life, what pays for a knife?
I don't know.
Like, what did she have to give to conjure that knife?
I feel like a knife isn't that big of a deal. It doesn't really inconvenience anyone, so I think it's fine. Okay. I feel like the death thing just matters more, because it's like, oh, like, the gods get to decide who dies, you know? You don't get to decide, you know?
Okay.
It's like a weird vibe.
The gods won't be offended by a knife appearing out of nowhere.
I don't think so, because it doesn't threaten their superiority. Right.
Even if the knife is there to kill one of their... Okay, we're going down this rabbit hole. What happens? Yeah, so Miri Mazdoor is singing, and all the Dothraki start getting freaked, and they begin to back away, and the Blood Riders arrive, and they want to stop Miri Mazdoor. And they, like, start walking towards the tent, and Dany tells her guards to stop them, and they fight.
Die.
Well, Koro dies.
Die hurt.
Sure. And then Jorah challenges Kotho. He's like, try me, horse lord. And they fight. Jorah gets, like, half of his ear cut off. He gets a deep gash in his hip. But he does manage to slash Kotho's face in half, so... Yay, Jorah. I just feel weird cheering whenever anybody dies.
Yeah.
Even if it's, like, fictional.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is happening. Everybody's fighting. And Daenerys starts to feel a sharp pain in her belly and a wetness on her thighs. So either, like, she's bleeding or her water broke or, like, something's happening, right?
What's going on?
Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention to her because they all do be fighting.
Well, somebody is paying attention to her because somebody throws a stone at her. And yes. She starts pleading for everyone to stop. No, she wept. No, please stop it. It's too high. The price is too high. And I don't know. I just like that. What price is too high?
I don't know.
Okay. So at this
I was confused at that point. I was like, maybe if they keep fighting, like, they're killing too many people, Like, it's like, right. We don't all need to die, bro.
Right. It's life of one person. Like, one life for one. One death for one life, not, like, all these deaths.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Kaholo, one of the other Blood Riders, grabs Dany and holds a knife to her throat, but he gets killed by Aego's arrow, and all is good. Except when Daenerys looks around, people are, like, leaving for their tents, and some are even riding off. And at this point, Dany's contractions begin.
Oh my gosh.
And Jorah picks her up and asks for, like, the midwives to be brought to him. And apparently they refuse to attend to Dany because they think she is cursed. Which, okay. Like, I get their point of view, but also, like, healthcare is crucial. Like,
yeah,
you know, deal with your problems after, help her now. But anyway.
Yeah.
So someone is like, hey, that Meiji, Miri Mazdoor, totally knows how to deliver babies. And in her head, Dany's like, no, don't do that. I don't know why that's how she thinks, but so yeah, and she, like, looks at the tent and she sees more shadows dancing, and some don't even look human. Do you remember what she sees?
I think there was a wolf and there was something to do with fire.
Yeah, she sees the shadow of a great wolf and another like a man wreathed in flames. Freaky.
Eek.
Yeah. I wonder what that is, but I honestly don't know.
Don't know?
I don't.
Oh, okay. That's a first.
Well,
so you do know.
Well, I can make guesses, but I don't know. No.
Okay.
Cool. So Daenerys continues to protest, but, like, she can't voice any of it because she's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And Jorah can't hear her because she's not voicing it. So he carries her into the tent. And now there are two people going, living beings.
Three.
Going
in, who's three? The kiddo.
Oh, right. So, like, 2.5 people going inside the tent where no living people should be going.
I'm scared. Why? Like, bruh. You saved Drogo. Well, actually, since they showed up, is that going to cancel, like, the Drogo thing out too? Like,
you tell me.
I don't know. That's what I'm like. I'm like, are all four of them just ready for their death now? Like, is that what's going on? Okay. I don't know.
What are your actual predictions?
Okay, so I think I don't really have a rationale for this, but I think that for some reason, because it's like a newborn or whatever, like the kid's gonna get some sort of like curse.
Oh, okay.
You know, but the kid's gonna survive. You know, but
okay,
the kid's gonna have some sort of curse. I think all of them are gonna survive.
All, including Drogo.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it won't do anything. Yeah, I don't think, because I don't think it'll upset the ceremony. I think it'll just, like, it's just dangerous to the people who show up. And, like, maybe, like, yeah, maybe the gods are, like, the humans can't see
these forms. So the kid gets, like, cursed. What's the consequence for Daenerys and Jorah?
That I don't know. Because I don't think they're going to die. I really don't want to be predicting another death out here. But
just when your death predictions actually came true, you don't want to predict anymore?
No, I don't. Because then they're going to start happening. But I honestly, I don't think they're going to die. But maybe, like, I don't know, like, what, you know, like, what happens. Maybe it's just,
Sorry, my head things fell off. Headphones.
Maybe it's some sort of, like haunting thing. Like, they're gonna be haunted by it for the rest of their lives. Like, they're gonna hear voices or something, you know? Maybe something, like, kind of minor compared to death. But then the kid will be, like, I don't know, like, cursed.
What kind of a curse?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I just think there will be some sort of curse. Like, for the rest of his life, or her life, or... Do we know? Do we know what the kid's?
No, because the kid's not born. How can we know?
Oh, yeah. All we know is that it's a stallion that mounts the world. Right.
Yeah, there's like the, what are they called? The Dosh Kaleen, where like, oh, you ate the heart, so it's totally gonna be a boy.
Oh, okay, got it. Right. I don't know what the curse is gonna do, but it's gonna be something, I don't know. It'll be something, I have no idea. I honestly have no idea, but it's gonna be some sort of living curse that he has to live with, or the person has to live with for the rest of their life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then,
oh my gosh. So Drogo's, wait, go ahead.
I was also thinking, I was like, okay, like, all of these people are reacting pretty, like, pretty severely, you know? And, like, I think she even says at one point, like, Kahola was always nice to me, but now he's, like, spitting in my face and, like, trying to kill me, and it's this whole thing. And I'm like, how's Drogo gonna react? Like, Drogo's, I don't, I sincerely doubt that Drogo's gonna be like, oh my gosh, my, like, moon and stars saved my life, you know? I think
he'll also be like, you used blood magic to save my life? I would rather die.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have this existential crisis, because he's gonna be like, ah! I am the product of something completely forbidden.
Okay.
So he's gonna, like, hate Danny for doing that.
Will he still want to go to Westeros for their kid?
That's a good point. Yes. Yes. But then he's gonna find out about the curse that the kid now has, and he's gonna be like, oh shit.
Who's gonna explain the curse? Miri Mazdur is gonna be like, since you came into the tent.
No. I think Miri will just be like, bad things are about to happen. You know, like something very like
vague.
Yeah, and then eventually they'll like figure out like, oh, this is happening to the kid whenever he does blank or something, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's kind of sum this up. They're going to be mostly fine, except totally cursed. Mm-hmm. Drogo's going to be totally mad, but mostly fine. Mm-hmm. And how's the rest? So, like, okay, so Drogo himself is going to be like, ah, I was brought back by blood magic. Is the Khalasar still going to follow him if he's brought back by blood magic?
I don't think so. I feel like that goes against, like, all of their morals.
Okay.
But then we're at the same place as before. Like, the whole reason Danny did this whole thing is that they still have the Khalasar and they still have the army, right? But then we're back at the exact same place. So this entire thing is for waste if Drogo can't lead. Maybe. No, they're definitely not going to follow him. That would be, like, against everything.
Okay.
Watch them follow him and I have to eat my words.
Okay. And what about Miri? Is she going to be freed? What's she going to be up to?
I think Miri will be freed secretly because people are going to try to kill her. So it has to be like in the middle of the night when everybody's asleep. And she can like, maybe someone will like accompany her to somewhere.
Okay.
To like make sure that she like get somewhere safely and, like, doesn't get killed, you know?
Okay, yeah. And the reason that Drogo's in such bad condition is because he, like, took off his bandage and it was, like, drinking whatever he wanted and all of that. Like,
yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah. Wait, now you're making me doubt it. Nah. No, I agree. No, but that makes sense, though. Like, you can't take medication and then take the counter medication
and like, expect it to work.
Yeah, like that's just not logical, buddy. Like, calm down. So, yeah.
So, what you're saying is that the Khalasar is missing a pharmacist. Apply now.
Oh my gosh, yes, exactly.
Okay. I think that I'm just going to look through quickly.
I'm also going to look at my notes.
Okay, so the Khalasar is not going to follow Drogo. Drogo's mad at Danny. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go?
I don't know. Let's think. They're gonna go... I don't know. I feel like some... I feel like, you know, I'm saying, like, oh, he's gonna be mad at her. Kalzar's gonna be mad at all of them. I feel like one of those has to budge. Because otherwise, like, what are they gonna do? Maybe... Okay, let's just say Jorah and the kid and Dany and Drogo escape to Ashai.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, that's what they're gonna do. Because Kalazar is trying to kill him.
Alright. And maybe they'll take Miri Mazdur with them, because she's been there before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They should do that.
They'll have a guide.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's it for Daenerys. Now let's get into the fun chapters.
You use fun very in a very interesting manner.
See, I have talked about this event so much in the last, like, however many years that I've become totally desensitized to it.
Really? Oh
my gosh. Yeah.
We're never going to get another Ned chapter. Oh my gosh, our last Ned chapter is when he talked to Varys. That's so sad. We're never going to get another Ned chapter. I'm so sad.
Unless we get a ghost Ned chapter.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think that would work very well.
Wait, before we get into it, what did you think of this whole chapter taking, like, this event taking place during Arya's chapter and not, like, Ned's POV or something?
I think if it had been Ned's... See, that's interesting. I feel like if it had been Ned's point of view, I might have... I think I would have hated it more. Because it would have just... Because, you know, with Arya's, like, we didn't even, like, really see it happen, you know? Because then, what's his name?
Yorin came in. With Ned's, it would have been like, I heard it chopping through my veins and my neck bone, and then yeah, I didn't
and we would have gotten... But it would have been nice, because... You know how, like, on your deathbed, you think of, like, all these, right. like, really prevalent things? And then we would have gotten, like, the John information and, like, all these different things. So that would have been nice, but I just feel like I would have been, like, I didn't cry while reading the Arya one because we didn't even, like, see it happen. But I feel like if it was Ned's and there was description, I would have cried easily. So okay. I'm glad that I didn't have to cry. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yet. Anyway, so... Arya, she is on the Street of Flour, which is the street where the baker's at, and there's lots of crumbs, so all the pigeons go feed there, and then they're fat and easy to catch.
Yes.
Pigeons. I'm just kidding. I don't know what that was. So Arya's catching pigeons, and she catches one. And then she tries to trade it for a tart, and the baker's like, no, what the hell am I going to do with a pigeon? Like, give me money. And shoos her away and is like, see those gold cloaks there? If you try anything, I am yelling for them. And Arya's like already trying to stay out of their way. So she's like, okay, fine. I'm going to go. And we learned that she's been living in Flea Bottom, which is... aptly named, because
yes.
lots of fleas.
Yes.
And she's been, like, hearing all sorts of rumors. Like, somebody's like, oh, Ned killed Robert. No, Renly killed Robert. No, a boar killed Robert. No, the queen killed Robert. Yeah. No, Robert died eating a boar and his stomach erupted. Like,
yes.
all sorts of rumors. But she does know for a fact that Robert is in fact dead because of all the bells that rang during the day and night when they announced he was dead.
Yes.
That is what happens.
Yes.
Gosh, I sound like Purred Happily. Okay. Do you know who that is?
I don't know who that is.
It's a reference somebody will get. So, yeah, she's like sleeping anywhere she can find a place to lie down, and she trades dead pigeons for stale bread and a bowl of brown, as they call it, which is basically like some stew with suspicious meat in it.
Sometimes and, a few vegetables.
Yeah. Arya tries not to think about it too much. So but instead, she's thinking about how all her stuff was stolen the very first night that she escaped the castle. But she still has Needle, her cloak, and her wooden practice sword. So she's set, I guess. And every day since her escape, she's been visiting the 7 city gates in hopes of leaving the city. But they're all either closed or very well guarded. So
I guess that's understandable. I don't know how oh my gosh. The entire time when I was like, she's gonna get on a ship and she's just gonna be able to leave, like.
Yeah, although Lannisters are being very careful.
Yeah.
And she thinks about leaving by a boat, but she doesn't have any money to pay for it. And she's like, I know my dad taught me never to steal, but I don't really remember why. And I'm like, yeah, principles are a privilege that only the rich can afford. Like, yeah. If you're poor, you gotta do things to survive.
And we see that a lot in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is her, she's only been there for a few weeks, right? Like, people live their whole lives like this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
and this is right outside, like, the Red Keep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, stupid lords win tourneys with enough money that could feed, like, what was it, 18,000 people for a year? Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
It's just fucked.
Tax the rich. Anyway. yeah. So, like, that all sucks. But she has her bowl of brown if she's ever hungry. But that also sucks because when she's at the pot shops where the bowl of brown is served, all these people stare at her. And she can tell that they either want to rob her or rape her, as it be. So she tries to avoid that. Smart child. And, one other thing she does that's smart. She starts walking, like, she only walks down the very middle of the streets. Because she's figured that if you walk too close to the buildings, that somebody can just grab you and, like, you know, stuff you inside and nobody will ever know you were there. So that's a thing. Okay, you talk.
Okay. And then, you know, she's feeling lonely. She's talking about how she, like, felt lonely. So she tried to make some friends, but the younger ones are afraid of her. And then the older ones try to steal from her or just, like, call her names. And
this one girl tackled her and tried to steal her boots.
Yeah. I guess, like, yeah, you can't really afford to trust anybody, so I don't blame people who are afraid of her. Because, yeah.
It's like every person for themselves, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's literally just, like, bare-bones survival.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
So she decides to go visit the riverfront, and she sees the ship that Ned had hired to take them to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh my gosh. And then she runs up to it.
I can go home.
Yeah, I was like, Arya, sis. Oh my gosh. So she runs up to it.
So did you fall for it or were you also like, yeah, no way?
I was like, mm-mm. I was like, this is a trap out here to draw you to the ship, sis. Like, don't do this.
Right.
But,
okay.
You know, and like the, even in this chapter, it happened a few times. But you know, in like the last few chapters, like, not last few, while ago, but, like, Yoren, and then the guards at the gate of the Red Keep, when, like, they're all like, oh, you're a boy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, here, it was, like, it was really good for her, because then there was, like, really no suspicion when she came up to them. And she was, like, because, like, when she runs up to them, she doesn't recognize the guards on the ships, and they're like, yo, kiddo, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, do you want to buy some pigeon? And because they think, like, oh, this is a guy, like, they don't even suspect her at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out for her.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they'd suspected her, like, they would have been like, oh, this
yeah,
is a child,
like a
and
girl
really
would
young.
Never wear pants. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And so then she's like, okay, I'm scared. So she runs back to Flea Bottom and she notices that she doesn't have her pigeon anymore. And she's like, oh my gosh. I just
put that in because it was like in insult to injury. Like,
yeah.
She didn't like get to go home, but she also lost her like way to have some food. Like, oh, it all just sucks.
I know. And then the bells start ringing and all the people are like theorizing about all these different things. And they're like, oh, the bells are for this. The bells are for this. And it's this whole thing. And she overhears that Ned's being taken to the Great Sept of Baelor. And so she follows the crowd, and this is when she's hearing everybody's theories and all the gossip going around. And someone thinks that Ned's going to be executed. another person argues that, oh, they wouldn't do that at the Sept.
It's the holiest place of the Seven Kingdoms. Like, yeah. They don't want to muddy the steps.
Or... I don't think the Lannisters know what holy means, but, you know.
And right, but, like, they think that. This person thinks that.
Yeah, and then someone says that Renly killed Robert, and...
And this other person's like, oh, shut your mouth. Renly's the greatest lord that ever was. Like, there's, we saw in the tourney that he clearly has some fans, and this is that showing up again.
Yeah, that was really funny. I was like, what the heck? And then they get to the Sept, and Arya can't see through the crowd because she's a child. And so she climbs up Baylor's statue and sits between the legs. And so she sees her dad up on the pulpit.
Yeah.
What's a pulpit?
It's basically like a stage at the front of a church.
Okay, cool.
Like an altar, almost. I think it's interchangeable with altar, maybe. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so she sees her dad there, and he does not look great. Like, he's the thinnest he's ever been. He's, like, being held up.
Mm-hmm. On the surface, though, they've dressed him up in, like, fine clothing and stuff. Yeah. But since Arya knows what he usually looks like, she can tell exactly how shabby he is.
Yeah. Exactly. And the High Septon's there. Joffrey's there. His Kingsguard's there. Everybody's there. The Small Council's there. We see Cersei. We see Sansa. And Arya's like, why does Sansa look happy? Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And Gold Cloaks, like, hold back the crowd as Ned's starting to speak. And at first, he's like, you know, he's not in great condition, so he's a little bit quiet. And everybody's like,
unlike all the people in your house.
That's true. But everybody's like, we can't hear you. So then he like has to project, and he starts here's what admitting he says to everything.
Yeah. I am Eddard Stark, Lord of Winterfell and Hand of the King, and I come before you to confess my treason in the sight of gods and men. I betrayed the faith of my king and the trust of my friend Robert. I swore to defend and protect his children, yet before his blood was cold, I plotted to dispose and murder his son and seize the throne for myself. Let the High Septon and Baelor the Beloved and the Seven bear witness to the truth of what I say. Joffrey Baratheon is the one true heir to the Iron Throne, and by the grace of all the gods, Lord of the Seven Kingdoms and Protector of the Realm. That's the last words he says.
He's so mad.
Which is a lie.
I was like,
when this was happening, like before the Joffrey thing, did you think that him confessing would result in something good?
Yeah, I was like, oh, he confessed. Like, they're gonna, I was like, oh, they're gonna let him, because we
talked. Yeah, were you like, oh, thing. Thank God he confessed.
Yeah, like, I was like, proud of him. I was like, yes, you did it. Okay, cool. But, like, it just happened so quick that I didn't even have a chance to, like, really think about that, you know? Mm-hmm. Really be like, oh, what's he gonna do now? And then Joffrey was like, yeah, you know, like, Sansa said this and my mom said this, but they're just hold women. On.
We'll get to that. The one thing I want to point out is that in Ned's entire speech, he, like, says he swears in the sight of, like, gods and men, and he, like, names the Septon and the Seven and Baelor, but he never says the old gods of the woods. So, like, because they're the ones he worships. Maybe. So maybe this is his way of, like, you know, not lying to his gods, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Slay the game. And they don't care because they don't worship those gods. Yeah, so they wouldn't even notice. Oh,
yeah. That's amazing. It's like Oh yeah, I'll swear on the Bible.
But I don't sorry. That's funny. Yeah, it's like somebody who is not a Christian being like, yeah, I'll swear on the Bible.
Exactly.
Because you don't necessarily care about that. So that's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Good job, Ned. Good job.
But yeah, the last words out of his mouth are still sucky.
I know.
And people start throwing stones at him.
Yeah.
And the High Septon's like, so, Joffrey, my dude, what do you want done with him? And this is what he says. My mother bids me to let Lord Eddard take the Black, and Lady Sansa has begged mercy for her father. He looked straight at Sansa then and smiled.
The audacity!
This is psychopathic behavior. He's like,
yeah.
And Arya's like, oh, that maybe it'll be all okay. But then he says, they have the soft hearts of women, so let's bring some misogyny into this. So long as I am your king, treason shall never go unpunished. Sir Illyn, bring me his
says tent. The dude who is literally the product of treason.
Yeah, like, but sir, he doesn't know that.
Yes, but it's ironic.
Yeah. And then here's a great description. So the crowd roared, and Arya felt the statue of Baelor rock as they surged against it. The High Septon clutched at the king's cape, and Varys came rushing over, waving his arms, and even the queen was saying something to him. But Joffrey shook his head. Lords and knights moved aside as he stepped through. Tall and fleshless, a skeleton in iron mail, the king's justice. Dimly, as if from far away, Arya heard her sister scream. Sansa had fallen to her knees, sobbing hysterically. Sir Illyn Payne climbed the steps of the pulpit. The gold cloaks flung Lord Eddard to the marble with his head and chest out over the edge. And at this point, Arya tries to rush up to the pulpit, but is swallowed by the crowd. And another description... Sir Illyn drew a two-handed greatsword from the scabbard on his back. As he lifted the blade above his head, sunlight seemed to ripple and dance down the dark metal, glinting off an edge sharper than any razor. Ice, she thought. He has ice. So Ned was killed by his own sword.
Stop.
What? I'm just
I can't.
Stating facts.
I can't. This is rude. This is just rude. There's no other... That's the description.
Right. But at least...
There is no at least.
I don't know.
There is no
like,
at
if it
least.
Was a dull sword, it would hurt even more.
I
know. There's no at least,
really. Poor Ned. This is what happens to... This is what happens to honorable men. I'm pulling a Varys.
Mm-hmm. So, as this is happening, someone grabs Arya and tells her not to look. And dimly, as if from far away, she heard a noise. A soft sighing sound. As if a million people had let out their breath at once. And that's the swing of the sword. And then Ned's dead.
Ned is... Nedardio is dead.
Nedardio.
I was going to say that, and then I was like, that sounds too silly for the situation. Nedardio is Nedardio.
Yeah. And so Arya looks up at the dude that grabbed her, and she recognizes Yoren. And he keeps calling her boy, and Arya's like, I'm not a smart boy, you mean? And, like, the plaza begins to empty, and this is, like, another indication that what was to be done is done. Like,
yeah.
If Ned weren't killed at this point, people would be like, oh, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Yoren finds Needle, because Arya dropped it earlier, and hands it to her. And then he shoves her into a doorway, and he yanks on her hair, and he pulls out a knife. maybe conjures it out of thin air.
I don't know. Oh my gosh. Hopefully not.
And that's where that chapter ends. So, what was it like seeing Ned and Arya for the last time ever? Obviously, Yeren is going to kill Arya with the knife that he just took out from nowhere. No?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to kill Arya. I seriously doubt that.
Then why did he pull out a knife at her?
That's a good question that I don't have the answer to. But I don't think he's going to kill Arya. I know that, okay. Doesn't make sense, but I don't think he's going to kill Arya. This was not a fun chapter for me. I was, reading this chapter, and I got to, the last two pages. Or no, I got to, it was, the last, I think Ned was killed on, the second last page. And I, got to that description, and I was, I'm ready to stop reading. And then I was, I have to keep reading. So then I kept reading. Not the vibes.
If you were here in person, I would give you a hug. And then laugh. Because...
Yeah, because let me guess. In three books, Arya's gonna die. And then in, two books, Sansa's gonna die. And, it's just gonna keep on happening. This is just a daily occurrence at this point. I feel like we're gonna get to a point, probably, this is, a prediction, okay?
So, okay.
Third book, we're gonna have a point where in five consecutive chapters, five main characters are gonna die. Why are you laughing?
Sorry, you've just become so pessimistic. It's like you've turned against the world. You don't trust anything. And you're right not to, but still.
I feel like, man, I said Ned was my favorite character at one point.
Yes, you did.
Why did I say that?
Well, because we kept... He had, 15 chapters in total.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, oh, my gosh. We keep getting distracted. Let's talk about... Okay, so this prediction makes no sense, but I'm going to predict it anyway, because most of my predictions don't make sense. So...
All right.
I think that Yoren is going to take Arya to the Night's Watch.
Interesting.
And that's why he's like, oh.
And then she's going to be reunited with John.
Yeah. And it's going to be a fun little moment. But she has to.
Because this book is so nice and
always fulfilled. Stop. Whatever. And then she's going to have to obviously keep pretending to be a boy.
And, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a fair prediction.
Because he doesn't. Let's talk about. I just don't get. Because, why did he keep going? She understood who you were, At first I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, he keeps calling her boy because he's trying to get her to understand. Remember back to that moment when he accidentally called her boy. But mm-hmm. then, he kept, saying it. And, every time, when she was like, I'm not a... He was like, oh, very smart boy. And this whole thing, I don't know. I know that makes no sense, but that's my prediction.
Okay. Do you have any other specific predictions, off the top of your head right now, because we will be talking about them after Bran's chapter, because they kind of relate.
Okay, we can talk after Bran's chapter, because I do have predictions, but I can't think specifically.
Okay, all right, so let's talk about Bran. Get that out of the way. Okay, so Bran is at Winterfell. He's watching people train in the yard, and all the people training kind of suck at fighting, but they need new guards, so what are you going to do? And he's thinking about how he wants to fight, and Maester Luwin's yeah, probably not. Mm-hmm. And Bran's but remember Simeon Star Eyes, the blind knight from the Age of Heroes who was totally cool? He fought. And Maester Luwin's yeah, that's a tale. Don't dream too big, kid. That's basically what he's telling Bran.
Yeah.
And it was kind of heartbreaking. Speaking of dreams, Bran tells Luwin that he dreamt of seeing Ned in the crypts. And he remembers that Ned was sad because of something relating to Jon. Hint, hint.
This is pretty realistic so far.
Yeah. And Bran tried to get Hodor to take him to the crypts, but Hodor wouldn't go. So he's like trying to figure out a way to go, and he remembers that in the dream he flew down to the crypts with the three-eyed crow. And, you know, he just continues talking about it. And Lewin's finally like, okay, fine. Let's go down to the crypts and I will prove to you that Ned is not there. Because science. Sorry. That's what he says.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Really, but.
That's what he means. Basically. He's like, he can't be here, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Bran, Summer, Osha, who's carrying Bran, and Lewin go down to the crypts. And as they're passing all the old grim faces, Bran's like telling stories about the kings of winter to Osha. And okay, wait, interesting point here. So as usual, I was reading The Race for the Iron Throne.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Apple made an interesting point here. Like in the descriptions of the kings of winter, they're all like greedy kind of people. Not greedy, like they all want like to take over lands and be great. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like they've got the wolf blood in them or something. and he points out that Ned doesn't seem to be like that.
I think he shares more like Ned.
Yeah, he shares more of Jon Arryn's traits, whose like words are as high as honor.
Yeah.
So like, since he grew up, he spent more time in the Eyrie as a kid than at Winterfell.
Yeah, because he wasn't supposed to be the Winterfell, like, lord. Yeah. So, that makes sense. But I feel like in Ned's case, it almost, like, I'm not saying, you know, his brother dying was a good thing, but I'm just saying, like, him getting to lead was a good thing, because he was doing a good job, you know?
Yeah, he was.
So traditions don't always have to be the be-all, end-all, people.
Yeah, so I think it's like, we kind of tend to like, oh, the Starks and honor, like that tends to be the thing, but it's not necessarily like it was the Starks of the past weren't so all about honor, but since Ned is the head of the family now, or was the head of the family until he was beheaded, he taught his kids and the people around him to be honorable. So like, now Rob is all about honor, right? Like, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Being honorable wasn't a Stark trait until Ned became the head of the family.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an interesting point to bring up, and I thought I would share.
No, I like that. Ned's impact.
Yeah.
That is...
Lest we forget.
I can't. This is really sad. Whatever, we're just gonna move on. Okay, so I think Summer was the one. Summer is like, okay, I'm not going to the crypts. So they go there without...
He just stops at, like, the step somewhere.
Yeah. And so then they get to the end of the tombs, and something jumps out at Lewin.
Yeah, Lewin's like, see? Nothing's here. And as he points at the here, something jumps at him, and it's Shaggy Dog.
Yeah. And Rickon, and then Rickon's also there, so he's like, hey, everybody. And Rickon came there because he also had a dream that Ned was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lewin's
like... He's like, he came back like he promised. And I was like, oh my gosh, this four-year-old child. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt more emotions with these kids for some reason. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
In a way, this chapter is a little, like, you can overlook it because all that really happens is that they get confirmation. Like, that's the plot of it.
Yeah.
But
it's like that buildup. It's really, like, this chapter is really just that emotional, it's that emotional dagger. That's what this chapter is.
That's conjured out of nowhere.
Stop.
Every time there's a knife.
Yes, it's the emotional dagger that's conjured out of nowhere, and you're like, what is going on with this dagger? And it really is, yeah, it really is just the build-up to get that message, because then, that's it.
Okay, so Shaggy Dog's injured Lewin. His arm is, like, not looking so hot. And Rickon doesn't want him chained up because, you know, that's his only companion.
Yeah.
He's basically being raised by this wolf.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to wait here for my father, who is going to be here. I know it. And Bran's like, okay, let's wait together. Why don't we? And we'll go wait in the Maester's Tower. And Lumen's like, I don't think so. But Osha's like, I think that kid's in charge here, so
that was a,
maybe we will.
That was a fun and moment. She just,
yeah, picks Bran up and starts walking. So
yeah.
So once they're in the tower, Lewin like tries to tell them that it was just a dream, don't worry about it. And Osha's like, well, it could be a dream, or it could be a dream. You should ask the children of the forest. And Lewin's like, oh, they're dead. But look, I have some arrowheads that they made from obsidian, which is Osha calls it dragon glass. It's like black glass.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice to look at. And Bran takes one and Rickon wants four because he's four. It's cute. And yeah, so Osha's like, oh yeah, the children still use those beyond the wall. And Bran's like, oh, tell me more. And Lewin like explains the whole history. This would be very interesting to go into at a different point in time sometime. But we can just like go over the basics. So basically, the children of the forest, as they're called, were the beings indigenous to the lands that are now Westeros. And then the first men came over, and then they were fighting for a while, but eventually they reached the peace. Like, that's the whole point. And the first men adopted their culture, and all was cool. And then the Andals came over and fucked everything up, so as per usual.
Sounds a little familiar.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. He's, like, telling the story, and as he's talking, the direwolves begin to howl, and Bran begins to feel this dread and despair, and he knows it's coming. And in fact, it says he had known it since last night, since the crow had led him down into the crypts to say farewell. He had known it, but he had not believed. He had wanted Maester Lewin to be right. The crow, he thought, the three-eyed crow. And then as he's thinking this, a raven arrives. And Rickon begins to cry. And Bran is like, oh, come to me. I will hold you in my arms. And then Lewin opens the letter. And Bran asks what it is. And Osha's like, you know what it is? And Lewin like is like, oh, yeah, we gotta find somebody that knew what he looked like. Basically. Ta-da!
Okay. I hate these chapters. I hate these chapters. They're so mean.
Why I love these chapters because they're so mean.
No! What? No.
They're like, it's good writing. You can't disagree with that.
I don't care.
Yeah, right. It's okay. You're experiencing this for the first time. Talk to me in 5 years.
Oh my gosh. No, I will never forget the pain I felt when Ned died. I won't. I don't care. I don't care if I've been predicting it for a year. I wasn't.
But do you think, okay, yes, it was painful, but do you think it makes sense plot-wise?
Yes.
And like in the way that the character, like, do the characters' reactions make sense? Like, would Joffrey do this? You know?
Yes. It would be, yeah. It just makes sense. And yeah, it just makes sense. Like, Joffrey has not been raised to be the type of person to sit and listen to people that he should listen to. So it makes perfect sense. Sometimes you just hope that people are a little bit kinder than they are.
So you think this was just like Joffrey being Joffrey?
Yes.
Okay.
This was Joffrey turning more and more into Joffrey.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about some predictions.
Also, why was, you know, I'm thinking, why was the raven, you know, okay, yeah, like, the raven was bloody because, like, an owl tried to get it, But, like, yeah. I don't know. What if somebody didn't want this message to deliver because they didn't want them to know that Ned had died?
You're just, no, that's not a thing.
All right.
Like, I could see that being a thing, but no, it was just the bird probably. It's just like the bird had to fight to get this message to them. Like, it's more of that than, like, somebody didn't want you to know. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I just clear up your misconceptions. Sometimes I let you dwell, and then...
Oh my gosh.
Either way, it's fun. Okay, so predictions. You already said that Arya will be going to the wall with Yoren.
Yes.
Disguised as a boy. Cool. What else happens? Oh yeah, what are, like, how are people going to react to this? Let's start with Rob and Catelyn.
That's what I'm thinking, because, you know, they were thinking, like, oh, we have Jaime, we're gonna offer them Jaime, we're gonna get Sansa and Ned, but now, like, are they gonna want to do that? Like, obviously, like, you know, they're them, so they're not gonna kill Jaime out of anger. Like, that's not very in character.
Okay.
But, like, I just, like, you know, like, I don't know, does this mean they're not gonna try to... I feel like this is just big enough that they're not going to try to just, like, make peace, you know?
Okay, so the war is going to continue?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How's Tywin and Tyrion going to react to this? Because, you know, they're not in the capital, so they're also going to be getting a raven.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, cool. Okay, but I'm just thinking, how would this change their... freaking war's course. So I think they would just be like, oh, the Starks are gonna be mad, we need to buckle up and get the gas pedal going and kill these Starks.
Okay. What's gonna happen to Sansa?
I don't know.
Well, obviously, but what do you think?
I'm thinking, like, are you asking what's going to happen to Sansa, or what's Sansa going to do?
Well, both.
Okay, cool. So Sansa, I feel like maybe this is the wake-up call she needs, you know?
Okay.
Okay, Sansa's going to be like, what the fuck? And she's either going to keep that same sentiment, or she's gonna rationalize it, which I hope she does not do, but I feel like, because she's gonna be so emotionally, like, charged, that it would be mm-hmm. easier for her to try and rationalize it.
Like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, so she might just be like, oh, like, it was too dangerous or something, I don't know. But no, okay. I think she's gonna be like, what the fuck? I have more faith in Sansa.
And is she gonna, like, still be in King's Landing and betrothed to Joffrey?
I think so. Yes. Because, okay. Yeah, they need, because now they don't have Ed anymore as leverage, so they need to keep Sansa now. Cersei's definitely gonna pull some sort of ploy of, like, oh, this is why Joffrey did this, you know? Like, make up some sort
try
of...
try to justify.
Like, maybe make up some sort of other lie that... nobody
like, who would she
confirm.
Have to justify it to?
I think to Sansa, just to, like, keep manipulating her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How's Jon gonna react to this?
I think he's gonna be like, I didn't go, I should have gone! You know, it'll be this, like, he'll regret not going, even if he knows, like, even if, like, logically he's like, okay, I couldn't have done anything, but it'll just be that thing of, like, my dad died and I didn't do anything about it, you know?
Okay.
So I think he's just gonna be emotionally...
Charged, as
per usual. And in terms of actions, like, what's he gonna do? He can't do anything. He has to just be there at where is he? Oh, Night's Watch.
Yeah, Castle Black.
Yes. Oh my gosh, maybe next time we see Jon, Arya will be there.
Okay. I can't really think of any other predictions. Do you have anything written down?
Let's see.
Oh, I have a question. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to Ice?
Oh, Ned's sword?
Yeah.
It'll be Sir Ilyn Payne's reward. Gets to keep okay. it for all his chopping. Oh my gosh. Imagine if somebody else got executed later that we like, and they were executed with Ice. Mm-hmm. I would be very mad. But I think...
Trust me, what actually ends up happening will make you even more mad, but...
What?
I'm just saying things.
No.
Or am
I? That's definitely true. Okay, what would make me mad? If they used Ice to...
No, actually, something good happens, but also something bad happens. But something good happens, but something bad happens.
What? Oh my gosh.
I'm not telling you.
Maybe.
And all I'm saying is everything I've said to this point is true.
But you've said very contradictory things. Okay.
Yes,
so,
I did.
I don't know. Once again, I have no rationale for my predictions, but they just, you know, they just happen. You just guess. I think for some reason, Sansa's gonna get Ice.
Oh, nice.
Why? I don't know. But she will.
Inheritance. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a... I don't know. She's gonna get Ice. They're gonna be like...
Alright, let's move off of Ice. What were the other things you were looking at in your book?
Oh, sorry, I was still reading. I hadn't found anything. Oh, I was also wondering, so the Starks, because in, like, the history stuff, I know mm-hmm. I probably know this, but I hadn't, because this was the first time that we got, like, a full-on debrief of, like, the history of gods and, like, all these different things, so I just hadn't thought about it that much. So the Starks are descended from the First Men, then? Because
yes,
the North was the only place that the First Men were able to not be overpowered by the Andals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool.
What did you think of, like, the fact that Bran and Rickon had this premonition?
I think it's just, once again, like, the wolf thing. I feel like the wolves are just... Because everybody who we've seen have a dream, like, a realistic dream, you know? Like when Bran saw, like, all the, like, winter and everything mm-hmm. from overhead, and, like, the crow stuff, and then Jon saw the dream and everything. So I feel like it's some sort of wolf connection thingy.
Okay.
The wolves help them see or something. And the wolves can like detect that type of danger somehow.
Right. Okay. Go back to looking. I keep coming up with questions and
I thought it was really sweet that like Lyanna and Brandon both got crypts, even though they weren't, like, the rulers, technically, yet.
Yeah, because Ned's a nice dude.
Yeah, that was cute. Yeah, I don't think I have anything else.
All right, let's move on to next chapters, then.
Okay, cool.
We will be reading two chapters.
Oh my gosh. Also, I have a prediction.
Okay.
I have a prediction that we only have two more recording sessions until the book's over.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
What are your predictions or hopes for the two chapters we'll have next time?
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's more death that's coming, so I just don't want to have anybody. Okay, who could we have, like, a good chapter from? You know what? This isn't gonna happen, but I'm hoping that for book two, we get Rob chapters.
Okay, we're talking
yes,
about chapters.
Yes, I know. My mind is just going off. Okay. I would like a Sansa chapter. I would like to know how Sansa's feeling. What's going on in the Red Keep now that, you know, Cersei's whole plan has been shambled by her lovely son. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to see Sansa, and the second one I want to see Arya. No, I want to see Jon.
Okay.
Yes.
You always want to see Jon.
Okay, whatever. So,
next time, we'll be reading chapters 67 and 68. Chapter 67 is Sansa.
Yay! Oh my gosh. The only thing I'm good at predicting is chapters. It's kind of sad.
So, you said something like, she'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think this will be like her, you know, this is just more part of her development of like learning to see things as they are and learning to see people as they are, not as who she wants them to be. And
Right.
It'll be kind of just, yeah.
Living outside the fairy tales.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Chapter 68 is Daenerys.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so they're going to be... Oh my gosh, we're going to find out lots of things in this chapter. Okay, so my previous predictions stand. They escaped to Ashai. Her child got cursed. She's going to have her child in this episode, or... in this book. Oh, didn't know.
Chapter.
This chapter. Drogo's gonna be fine, but he's gonna hate how he's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all the things you predicted before, they'll happen in this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's everything then. Y'all, check us out on Instagram at Pop Culture Symposium at... Yeah. That's the handle. I was going to...
You were going to say the email? I think you were going to try to say the email.
Because our email is popculturesymposium@gmail.com.
There we go.
There we go. Two places where I will check.
Yes.
And if you tweet at us, I will check. I probably won't tweet back.
Okay.
I don't know how Twitter works.
Oh my gosh. Everybody, you should let Nav know what your reaction was when you read these chapters. I want to know how you guys reacted.
Tell me.
Because I am broken. I don't know if you've noticed, but this episode, I just feel like my voice legitimately sounded more sad than in any other episode. So, I don't know if y'all noticed, but let's see how you guys reacted.
You erase it grinning.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, tell us that. That'll be good. Fun to know.
Yes.
I think that's everything. Honestly, I cannot. That is the end of this episode. It appears... that this episode has come to an end. Until next time, farewell, my friends.
Talk to you later.